Hare Krishna. So, welcome everyone for our Saturday evening satsang program. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udhirai Nashta Praeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavate Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishriki Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girin Yat Pripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dina Tarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyeshwaram Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarin Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurache Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripasindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaitya Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so we have been discussing second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And last time we were discussing the various questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Srila Shukdev Goswami. So he asked many different varieties of questions. What is the cause of the living entities getting various forms? What are the different orders and Varnas and ashrams, the duties among various Varnas and ashrams. What is the time factor, the duration of time in different planetary systems? How does it affect, how does the time and the modes affect the different activities in their reaction? And ultimately, what are the various incarnations of the Lord and how does He perform various activities in various incarnations? So, like that, Parikshit Maharaj asked many different questions. He is surrendering completely to Srila Shukdev Goswami as a surrendered disciple to the Guru. And we discussed the importance of taking shelter of a bona fide Guru to make progress in spiritual life. And also Parikshit Maharaj is on the verge of death. He has got a notice period of 7 days, that in 7 days, after 7 days, he's going to die. And he has taken a vow to observe complete fasting, no eating, no drinking, no sleeping for 7 days. And he constantly wants to engage in hearing about the Supreme Lord. So following in the mood of Parikshit Maharaj, we should learn how to observe austerities for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. So after Parikshit Maharaj asked these many different questions, now Srila Shukdev Goswami is preparing to answer these questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj. So Parikshit Maharaj is mentioned as the best of the Pandavas, best of the among the dynasty of Pandus. And he was able to ask the right questions to the right person. And same way, now Shukdev Goswami is getting ready to answer those questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj. Now, what does it mean really that he is getting ready to answer those questions? Means, when we want to deliver the message, it's not about just delivering the message, but preparing the person to receive that message. So preaching is not just giving the message, but it's also preparing the person to receive that message, creating a favorable situation for that person. Otherwise, if the person is not favorable to receive that message, it becomes like a offense to the holy name. As we know, the 10 offenses towards the holy name. And one of the offenses is to preach the glories of the Supreme Lord, of the holy name, to unfaithful person. So that's why it is essential to first prepare the person to understand these glories of the Supreme Lord, his holy name, his pastime, the various discussions about the Supreme Lord. It's like a very common example to understand. If we want to eat Golgappas, you go to a shop or a vendor who is selling Golgappas, who is giving Golgappas. So before he gives Golgappa, he doesn't just prepare the Golgappa, fill it with the spicy waters and all sort of spices and just give it to you, okay, take it. So before he gives that, he first gives you a pot, a bowl to keep that. So before just giving that object, he gives the medium to hold that. So same way, a preacher, a spiritual master, he prepares the student to receive that message in a favorable situation. So that's how Srila Shukdev Goswami, he is creating a favorable situation for Parikshit Maharaj to absorb that message to the fullest extent. So how is he answering these questions now? He is going to answer all these questions, maybe not in an exact sequence in which the questions were asked, but eventually Parikshit Maharaj, Shukdev Goswami will answer all those questions. Either he is going to answer himself those questions, or he is going to cite some other discussion, refer to some other discussion which happened between other personalities like Narad Muni, Yudhishthira Maharaj, or Vidura and Maitreya Samvad, or Lord Shiva and the Prachetas. So he's going to quote many different discussions to answer those questions. So in answer to Parikshit Maharaj's first question, which was, how does the living entity get the different bodies? So Shukdev Goswami says, the living entity experiences different bodies in this material world under the influence of the material energy. Unless the living entity is under the influence of material energy, there is no way of his experiencing or going through these various different bodies, different species of life. But overall, all this situation is just like a dreaming state. As when we fall asleep, we are seeing some dreams in our sleep. Sometime in the dream, one may see he has become the king, All other people are bowing down in front of him and glorifying him. At other time, he may be seeing a dream where he is being chased by a lion and he is running to save his life, perspiring in complete anxiety, under fear. So in dream, all these different situations may be seen, but that dream is not real. But whatever experience the person is getting in the dream, it feels just like real. So same way, the living entity goes through these various pieces of life, various different bodies, and whatever experiences we are getting in these various lives, it feels very real experience. In the dream also, when we are dreaming, in the dream everything seems very real. For example, once a child, he is sleeping in the afternoon at his home, and his mother has gone somewhere out to buy some vegetables or something, and he is alone in the afternoon at home sleeping. And in the sleep, in the dream, he saw maybe some kind of a nightmare. He had a nightmare. He saw his mother died. Let's say he saw that kind of dream where he saw his mother died. And in the dream, to him, it feels everything so real. He is crying. He is sitting next to his mother, maybe dead body, and crying profusely. But at the same time, while this child is having that experience of dream, he is so deep in that dream, and his mother comes back and he is banging on the door, knocking on the door, ringing the bell, but this child is not responding. He is in the sleep, in the dream, crying. His mother is knocking. She is thinking of why he is not opening the door. She is getting scared. Now, maybe few of the neighbors also come. They are trying to open the door. And maybe somebody manages from some other window or something to go inside and see this child sleeping, and he is shaking in his sleep. He is sweating in his sleep. Somebody shakes him up, open, and try to wake him up. And as he wakes up, he saw his mother standing in front of him. But just for a moment, he may feel, oh, I just saw my mother dead. Who is she? Is she the ghost? Is the ghost of my mother has come back, or what is going on? Because in the dream, sometimes whatever we see, it feels so real. Sometimes whatever pleasures are being experienced in the dream also seem real. And same way, the pain which is experienced in the dream is also seeming very real. So the living entity is going through different lives. It's just like a dreaming state. Whatever activities we perform here is just like as in the dream. And how does the living entity get the different life forms? Under the influence of material energy, a living entity, because of many different varieties of desires, he is wandering from one life form to another life. And each life, the living entity gets so much of conditioning built on further. This concept of mum and aham, mine and I, it's so deep-rooted, which keep the living entity bound in this material world. The only possession the living entity has is his free will. And because of the free will, the living entity chooses to enjoy in this material world. And Krishna does not interfere in the free will of the living entity. Krishna gives them flexibility, freedom to enjoy the way they are trying to enjoy in this material world. And because of that concept of aham and mam, the living entity just keep wandering in many life forms. If somebody surrenders unto Krishna and wants to serve Krishna with love and reciprocation, then Krishna accepts that, and Krishna make arrangement for the living entity to come back to the spiritual world. But if somebody is trying to serve Krishna, but there is a sense of burden, or maybe just a sense of obligation, even though Krishna is giving that facility, Krishna may not accept that or may not provide that facility to make further progress unless the living entity has that deep desire to serve Krishna with love and reciprocation. So just because of the desire of living entity to enjoy separate from Krishna, he is wandering in all these various species of life, the 8.4 million species of life. And all these species are given as an opportunity to the living entity to try to enjoy. If somebody has a desire to eat flesh, somebody has a desire to drink the blood of other living entity, so there is a facility. Okay, become a tiger, in which you can eat the flesh and suck the blood of other living entities. So like that, there are 8.4 million species of life with different varieties of nose, ear, eyes, tongue, teeth. So person can enjoy in all these different varieties. Jalajalava lakshani sthavara laksha vimasti karmayo rudra sankhya pakshi nama dasa lakshani paravasa trimasaha lakshani manushya chatura lakshani. So there are 900,000 species of aquatic life. Jalaja navalakshani. So 9 lakh joniya hai. Aquatics. Jo jal mein rehne wale. Thavara laksha vimasti. 20 lakh species of life in plants and tree forms. Karmayo rudra sankhiyak. Pakshi nama das lakshani. There are 11 lakh species of insects, 10 lakh species of birds life, and 30 lakh species of beasts. And then there are 4 lakh species in human form of life. So human form is also not just one species. There are also many different varieties of species in human form of life. All these, even the Devi Devatas, the higher planetary system, right? All these Gandharvas and Yakshas, all these come under same category with the higher level of consciousness. So 4 lakh species of human life, human species. So like that, there are 8.4 million species of life, and the living entity wanders through all these various species of life because of his desire to enjoy in many different ways. So there is a concept of desire and deserve. It may not be necessarily just based on the desire, also based on what we deserve. In one particular species of life, what kind of life situation one will get, that also depends on what he deserves based on his karma. It's not that, okay, I desire to become a human being and I can become a human, and I can desire to become, to be born in a aristocratic, rich family, billionaire's family. That may not happen. Ultimately, it depends on both desire and deserve. Somebody may get a human form of life, but may be born in a very unfavorable circumstances. Somebody may be born as a handicapped or in a very poverty-stricken condition, or in such a part of the world where there are no facilities to enjoy, or there are no facilities for the basic necessities of life. So how does the living entity go through these 8.4 million species of life? Based on desire and deserve. Giving up one life form, one accept another life form. Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya navani grahanati naroparani tatha shrirani vihaya jirnani anyani sanyati navani dehi. As we give up the old cloth and put on the new cloth, same way the living entity gives up one body and accepts another body. So all this has been going on. And this deep-rooted concept of I and mine, which is keeping the living entity bound in this material world. So this concept of mine, right, it belongs to me, this is mine, is available in the lower species of life also. Even the animals, they also has that propensity of mine, mine, me, me. You can see some dogs fighting in the street. One dog may be carrying some piece of chapati, some piece of some meat, and the other dogs, they will come, they will chase him, and everybody is, what is the propensity? Mine. I want that. This is mine. So this concept of mine is available in the lower species of life. And in the higher species, in the human species of life also, this concept is there with people with the lower state of consciousness. And as somebody's consciousness level develops, so for the karmis, this concept of mine is very much prevalent. Karmis think, oh, this is my house, this is my car, my family, my city, my country. All that my concept is there. But if somebody takes to the process of self-realization, somebody is going through the process of jnana yoga or dhyana yoga, one may be able to come out of this concept of mine, but then this concept of I becomes more prevalent. So the concept of I is a sense of pride. Oh, I am so great. I am so learned. I am God. So that particular mentality develops in a person who may be able to give up the lower taste, but then this I becomes very prevalent. So if somebody really want to go out of this material world and reinstate in its original constitutional position, one need to give up this both concept of mine and I. Even when we practice this bhakti yoga, engage in the chanting of holy name, there is always risk of being consumed by this pride, this sense of I. Oh, I am so great. I am doing service so nicely. I am preaching so nicely. I am so great. That I is very dangerous. So one need to give up this aham and mam concept, ahamta mamata, to be able to restore in one's constitutional position. So our original constitutional position is to engage in service of Krishna. But because of this I and mine, our constitutional position is covered up. Because we have taken to this mentality, I want to enjoy, separate from Krishna. This belongs to me. This is my opportunity to enjoy. So this I and mine covers up our constitutional position. But the original Svarupa of living entity is to serve Krishna. We are misusing our constitutional position for a wrong purpose. And in that way, we cannot fully utilize the potential what the living entity has. Even in this material world, after getting a different life form, and especially when we come to the human form of life, if we don't utilize that opportunity to restore to our original constitutional position, that is a waste of human form of life. For example, if you have a table with four legs, and maybe one leg of the table is little shorter. So if you keep that table and you put something on that table is little shaky, right? It's making that noise, dip, 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 dip. And to balance that table, to make it stable, if you take your phone, you have a nice iPhone or Samsung Galaxy or whatever, and you, that thin phone, you put it under that leg of the table, and maybe this, the four legs become balanced now. The table is in its balanced situation. So the table is balanced, but is that the ultimate purpose of the phone? Is that the best use of the phone? With the help of phone, we may be able to do so many wonderful things. You may call somebody sitting in America, you can call somebody, talk to somebody in India, and you can send some devotional message and engage others in devotional service. So there are so many real benefits or the real uses of the phone, but putting that phone to balance the table is the misuse of phone. So same way, the living entity, having got the human form of life, its real purpose is to serve Krishna, to utilize this human form of life in service of Krishna, to attain our real Svarupa, to go back to the spiritual world. but by engaging this human form of life in the same propensities of eating, mating, sleeping, depending, is misuse of that human form. But when somebody is able to realize its constitutional position, engage in the service of Krishna, then one is able to go back to spiritual world and enjoy with Krishna eternally, to the fullest extent. So in this verse, Shukdev Goswami answered that the living entity in this world is getting the different life forms based on his desire because of his constitutional position is covered up with the tendency of I and mine, and he is wandering in this material world trying to be the master of the resources of this material world. But as soon as the living entity gives up this concept of I and mine, ahamta mamata, one is restored in one's constitutional position, and then one enjoys with Krishna in the spiritual world. And what is that spiritual world? In the spiritual world, there is no influence of time, and there is no influence of the material energy, the illusory energy. In this material world, the living entity is under the influence of this external energy of the Lord, Maya Shakti. In this material world, the living entity is under the influence of Kala. But in spiritual world, the influence of time and Maya Shakti is not there. So now Shukdev Goswami further answers questions of Parikshit Maharaj. His next question was, Brahma was born from a lotus sprouted from the navel of the Supreme Lord, and the Lord appeared in front of Brahma. Is there a difference in Brahma's body and the body of the Supreme Lord? What is the constitutional difference in the body of the living entity and the Supreme Lord? So now Shukdev Goswami is going to answer that question by referring to the discussion which happened between Lord Brahma and Lord Vishnu. So these next few verses are coming to that point. And before the discussion between Lord Brahma and Lord Vishnu happened, there is some further background that Brahma performed the austerities. And then he saw the vision. He had the vision of the spiritual world, what he saw in the spiritual world. And then there is a discussion between the Supreme Lord and Lord Brahma. So all these next set of verses like are the prelude coming up to the point of the discussion between Lord Brahma and Lord Vishnu. So Lord, being pleased by the austerities of Brahma, he showed him his eternal transcendental form. But then the question comes, why did Brahma performed the austerities? What was the reason of his performing the austerity? And how this whole thing led to the discussion between Brahma and Lord Vishnu? So Shukdev Goswami says, Atma Tattva Vishuddhartham Yadaha Bhagwan Vratam Brahmane Darshayan Rupam Avlikaya Vratadataha. The Supreme Lord, being very much pleased with Lord Brahma because of his non-deceptive penances in Bhakti Yoga, he presented his eternal and transcendental form before Brahma. So, few things to understand here. Atma Tattva Vishuddhartham. So when Brahma was performing the austerities to understand for the purpose of self-realization, Atma Tattva, so Lord was pleased with the austerities of Lord Brahma because his austerities were non-deceptive with the mood of devotional service. And in that way, being pleased with Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu showed him his transcendental form. So this Atma Tattva, it refers to the science of the Supreme Lord as well as the science of soul also, Atma Tattva. Sometimes people consider the soul and super soul as the same level, that Atma or Paramatma ek hi cheez hai. But there is a difference in soul and super soul. The soul is a minute part and parcel of the super soul, of the Supreme Lord. So people bring the Supreme Lord at the level of the living entity. And also sometimes people have the wrong understanding of considering the soul and the body at the same level. They don't understand the difference between the soul and body. They just think themselves as this body without having the actual knowledge of the soul. So in both ways, that is the degradation of the knowledge of Atma Tattva. So understanding the Supreme Lord in Tattva and understanding our real identity, both fall in the category of Atma Tattva. And Brahma was engaged in the penances to understand what is his purpose, from where he has come out, what is his relationship with whoever has created him. So he is trying to understand that. So being pleased by his austerity, Lord Vishnu showed his transcendental, eternal form. Brahmane darshayan rupam avlikeha vratah dratah. So what is Lord's form? His form is eternal and transcendental. Either Lord is present in his spiritual world, in his eternal Vaikuntha loka, or he appears within this material world assuming many different forms. There is no difference in the form of the Lord. It's always transcendental, not covered up by the three modes of material nature. So that is the difference in the position of living entity and the position of the Supreme Lord. Lord is never covered up by the three modes of material nature or the material elements. And Brahma is performing austerity without any duplicity, without any deceptive mood, with the mood of engaging in the service of the Lord in Bhakti Yoga. So that's why the Lord is pleased with him. Because Bhakti Yoga eventually is the only process to attain the spiritual world. If somebody is able to see the darshan of spiritual world, because of his executing devotional service, process of Bhakti Yoga is not temporary, because we practice Bhakti in the material world, and when somebody becomes eligible to go to the spiritual world, there also one engages in performing devotional service, Bhakti. There is no other activity. It's not that in spiritual world when somebody goes, he is engaged in his own sense enjoyment. In spiritual world, everybody is engaged in serving the Supreme Lord, glorifying the Supreme Lord. So Bhakti Yoga is not temporary, that okay, it is my just the medium to attain spiritual world. Once I attain the spiritual world, then I don't need to perform this. Here also, it's execution of devotional service. In spiritual world also, it's execution of devotional service. In spiritual world, there is nothing like a karma kandis or karma yogis or jnana yogis. It is not that in spiritual world also there is somebody who is having a karmakandi mentality, is performing some ritualistic activities to attain some heavenly planets within the spiritual worlds. Or there are some jnanis in spiritual world who are trying to merge into the impersonal Brahman. So none of these exist in spiritual world. Only the devotees, the self-realized souls engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord, only they reside in the spiritual world. So in spiritual world, everybody is also still doing Bhagavad Katha only. What is Bhagavad Katha? Is chanting the glories of the Lord, speaking the glories of the Lord, hearing the glories of the Lord. So in spiritual world, everybody is engaging only in these activities. So Brahma performed austerity without any deceptive mood, favorable in bhakti. So Lord is very pleased with his austerities. So, but what is the background of Brahma's performing this austerity? So when Brahma came out on the lotus sprouted from the navel of the Supreme Lord, Brahma is sitting on that lotus seat and he is trying to understand what is my source. So he tried to go inside the stem of the lotus, down, down, down. He could not figure out the source of that lotus. So he could not understand what is my source. From where did I come? What is my purpose here? And then he had an inspiration within his heart that I want to engage in the process of creation. But how do I create? What is the direction for creating? What is the ultimate this process of creation? So he did not have any understanding. And then he heard the two words. So Shukadeva Goswami very poetically describes that Brahma heard the two syllables, the 16th syllable and the 21st syllable, which joining together make the sound ta pa. So if we go the Devanagari script, all the consonants, the 16th consonant is ta and 21st consonant is pa. So he heard the 16th and 21st consonant ta pa ta pa. And Brahma hearing these two syllables, he thought, I should perform tapa, austerity. And ultimately, what is this? This is inspiration from within the heart. Lord is residing in everybody's heart, and from within the heart, he gives this inspiration to the living entity. So he gave the inspiration to Brahma to engage in this process of creation. But before that, he should engage in this austerity. Nishkinchana nam nirpayad dhanam vidhu. And austerities are very much pleasing to the Supreme Lord. Austerities are like the ornament for somebody who is a detached person. Nishkinchana nam nirpayad dhanam vidhu. Dhanam, it is a wealth of somebody who is nishkinchana, who is detached. And austerity is the process to detach ourselves, and after getting detached also, that is the best wealth of the person to engage in austerities. Either we engage voluntarily in performing the austerities for the purpose of self-realization, or sometime otherwise people will be forced to undergo austerities. So austerities are the ornament for a detached person. And the process of austerity is recommended by the Supreme Lord himself. It is not somebody's concoction that, oh, you should observe austerities, you should do this fasting on Ekadashis, or you should visit the holy places and do this sort of austerities. This is recommended by the Supreme Lord. But sometimes, because of lack of knowledge, people come up with many different theories. Sometimes people say, oh, one should not observe fasting. This is very bad for your body. Or this is actually when somebody is observing fasting, not eating food for a certain period of time, the in the body itself, the body cells, they are eating itself. And when the body from the within, it's being consumed itself, it is like eating the your own meat. It's, so it's like meat eating. So it's very sinful. So people come up with all these nonsense theories. Process of austerity. What is the process of austerity? First of all, it is recommended by the Supreme Lord, as we hear in these narrations here. Lord is pleased by the austerities of Brahma, and Lord inspired Brahma to perform austerity. And this austerity is to give up something for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, to show that I am not attached with this object, or I am not attached with this body itself, to give up that concept of aham and mam, I and mine. For that purpose is austerity specified. So Brahma heard these letters, ta, pa, tapa. So he performed austerities. And for how long did Brahma perform these austerities? So it's described he performed the austerities for 1,000 celestial years. Divya Yuga, Divya Varsha, 1,000. So this is not as per 1,000 years of Brahma's life, or it is not the 1,000 years based on the human life duration. This is 1,000 years as per the life duration in heavenly planets. Devi Devata's 1,000 years. So from human calculation, this is a long, long, long duration of time period. Because our 1 year is 1 day in the heavenly realm. So our 360 years is like 1 year of the Devatas. And such 1,000 years, Brahma performed this austerity. So from the humanly calculation, it's a long duration of time. But considering Brahma's life duration, which is so huge, Brahma's life duration is like 301 trillion and some billions and millions of years. And in that duration of time, this 1,000 celestial years is nothing. It's like Brahma did fasting till noon. Jaise hum log kai baar fasting karte hain, on some particular occasion, the recommended fasting is specified as fast till noon. So for Brahma, this 1,000 celestial years is like doing austerities for few hours of his day, fasting till noon. But no matter how long he did austerities, his mood of performing austerity is to please the Supreme Lord. He just heard the sound vibration that you perform austerities, and he engaged himself in performing austerity. He tried to find the speaker, from where the sound is coming. So he tried to find out. He looked in all four sides, four directions. And in the scripture it is mentioned, because Brahma looked all four around, that's how he developed the four heads, for him to be able to look all around. So he was searching in all sides, but he was not able to find from where this instruction came up. But still, even though he was not able to see the person who spoke to him, he still sat down on his lotus seat, and with full attention he executed the penances as he was instructed. So what is there, the message to understand from here? Even though sometimes we don't have the person in front of us who may have given us the instructions, still we should execute those instructions. So first we receive the instruction, then we accept the instruction, and then we execute that instruction. So it's not that we just receive the instruction and then say, okay, just forget it, I don't want to do it. So receiving, accepting, and executing. Even though the person who has given the instruction may not be present in front of us. So following the instruction in every situation. The same way, we may have heard the instruction from our superiors, from our spiritual master, guru. Our duty is to execute those instructions. It's not that, okay, now guru has gone to his own place of residence or his own city or his own country. He is not in front of me, so who is watching me? How does it matter if I do it or doesn't do it, don't do it? Rather than thinking in that way, one should execute the instructions given by the spiritual master. One should always feel as if my spiritual master, as if Krishna is always in front of me and he is watching me. So just imagine, whatever activity you are doing, if you had that mood that my guru is in front of me, he is watching me, Krishna is in front of me, he is watching me, will you do the same activity, or will you do the same activity in the same way with the same mood? So our attitude will change drastically with that sense of understanding, that feeling that Krishna is there watching me, Guru is there watching me. So even though they may not be present in front of us, we should execute the instructions. We should follow the instructions given to us, following in the footstep of Brahmaji. So Brahma is setting a very important example here, how the disciple should act to please the spiritual master, to please the Supreme Lord. So Brahma, even though could not see the speaker, he started executing those penances. For 1,000 years, he performed those austerities. And after, as he was performing the austerities, Lord became very pleased with the austerities of Brahma. First of all, he accepted those instructions, those words which were spoken to him, tapa. And then he was performing the austerities in a very favorable mood. So Lord manifested the vision of the spiritual world in front of him. And this spiritual world is occupied by all the self-realized person who are free from all sort of miseries, who are free from any sort of anxiety. So why Lord showed that vision to Brahma? Because he was pleased with the service mood, the mood of austerity is executed by Brahma. So it is the mood of austerity which pleases the Lord. Not, it's the intention behind those austerity which pleases the Lord. Not how severe one may be performing the austerity. Somebody is standing on one leg for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Just that severity of austerity is not pleasing to the Lord. But what is his intention? There are many different personalities we read in Srimad Bhagavatam that they performed austerities. From somebody's austerity, Lord doesn't even care. But for somebody else's austerity, he becomes very much pleased. If somebody is performing the austerity for his own egoistic agenda, his own sense enjoyment, Lord may not consider it or pay any attention to that. Like Brahma performed the austerity because he wanted to execute the task of the Lord, so he became pleased with him. On the other side, we hear about Hiranyakashipu. He also performed severe austerity, standing on one leg with raised hand, on one leg also, just on one toe. So his body was finally burning up. But Lord was not very pleased with his austerity. Even the Devi Devata, they may get scared. They may come to pacify this person who is performing the austerities. But the Supreme Lord is not very interested in that sort of austerity. He becomes pleased when somebody is performing the austerity with right intention, right desires. And he manifested the vision of the spiritual world in front of Brahma. And what is the spiritual world? In Brahma Samhita also, the description of the spiritual world is given. Chintamani prakara sadamashu kalpa vriksha Laksha Vrateshu Surabhi Abhipalayantam Lakshmi Sahasra Satasam Sabrahma Sevyamanam Govindamadipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Lord Govinda, the first progenitor who is tending the cows. So the Supreme Lord, Lord Govinda, Lord Krishna, he is tending the cows. And he is like a desire-fulfilling tree who is yielding all the desires. And this spiritual world is built with the gems, Chintamani, Chintamani Prakara, Sadamashu, Kalpa Vriksha. There are desire-fulfilling tree, there are Kamadhenu cows, there are jewels, spiritual gems, Chintamani. And the Lakshmi Sahasrasata Sambrahma Sevyamano. There are thousands and thousands of Lakshmi Devi who are always engaged in serving the Supreme Lord. Govindamadipurusham tamaham bhajami. I glorify, I pay obeisances to Lord Govinda. So that is a brief description of the spiritual world. So Lord displayed that spiritual world, and in next set of verses it describes what is the spiritual world looks like, what are the activities happening in the spiritual world. So this spiritual world is the personal abode of the Supreme Lord. There is no influence of the material modes of ignorance and passion, and there is no mode of goodness also which is tinged with ignorance or passion. There is only Shuddha Sattva in spiritual world. There is no ignorance, no passion. Mode of ignorance is the cause of destruction, and mode of goodness is the cause of some construction, some doing some building, constructing something. So in this material world, we see people are filled up with this mode of ignorance and passion, and that is the cause of destruction or creation. People build various things, they destroy various things. But in spiritual world, there is no destruction, no creation. It is eternal abode of the Supreme Lord. So there is no influence of ignorance or passion. And there is no influence of time factor. So what to speak of the influence of illusory energy, external energy of the Lord? It cannot enter in that region. So everybody in the spiritual world seems like very youthful, because the time is kind of still. The duration of time is so long there, it feels as if the time is still. Everybody just stays in the same youthful situation. There is no influence of time, there is no influence of the external energy, material energy of the Lord. And how does the inhabitants of Vaikuntha look like? All the residents of Vaikuntha, they have the same appearance as the Supreme Lord, with four arms, bluish complexion. Everybody is just like the age of a growing youth. Their eyes are like lotus flowers, very beautiful and attractive. They are dressed in the yellow garments. They are wearing the very beautiful necklaces made of pearls. So that is the description of the residents of spiritual world. And there are description of airplanes flying in the sky in spiritual world. All the great devotees of the Lord, they are traveling in the airplane, but they are not doing it all just for their own pleasure. They are not engaged in their enjoyment. All their activities are just for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. They are always glorifying the Supreme Lord, singing His glory, playing various musical instruments and singing. So all the men and women, see, first of all, there is all varieties of life there also. Krishna likes varieties. There are birds, there are bees, there is a man, woman, all these varieties are there in spiritual world also. Even though that variety is there, but people are not aware of this gender difference. It's not that somebody thinks, oh, I am a male or I am a female. That differentiation is not there in spiritual world. So the men, they are of the bluish complexion. They appear like the clouds. And the women, they are so beautiful, they appear like the lightning in the sky. So in that way, all these inhabitants of the spiritual world, they are engaged in the glorification of the Supreme Lord. The description of the spiritual world is so clearly described here in the Vedic scripture, Bhagavatam and other Puranas also. Nowhere in any other part of any other scriptures, be it the any other dharmas, any other religion, nobody has that understanding of the spiritual world. Even though everybody speaks about some kingdom of God, they have understanding of the kingdom of God, But there is no description in this all Abrahamic religion. What does that kingdom of God looks like? What happens there? See, as in our Vedic scripture, there is a different description of the heavenly planets and the spiritual world. The Swargaloka and Vaikunthaloka, these are two different entities. And people sometimes confuse the Swargaloka with the kingdom of God. So same way in Abrahamic religion also, there is description of the kingdom of God, but there is a description of Jannat also. Jannat is just like the heavenly planets, the Swargalokas. And people think, oh, we will go back to the kingdom of God, that is Jannat. And there we will be able to enjoy in unlimited ways. Like in Islam, there is a very particular concept of, if we try to execute the orders of Allah, which is to destroy all other people who do not believe in Allah, we will be pleasing Allah and then we will go back. Even if we have to give up our life, that is okay, because we will go back, go in Jannat, and we will be enjoying with the 72 beautiful celestial women. So, 72 huron ke saath hum enjoy karenge. So that concept is also not a very elevating concept, because the person is filled with desire of his own personal enjoyment. There is no understanding of serving the Supreme Lord. In spiritual world, ultimately, the activity is to serve the Supreme Lord. There is no conception of personal enjoyment. So all the residents of Goloka, all the residents of Vaikuntha Lokas, they are engaging in satisfying the Supreme Lord, serving the Supreme Lord. And in that service, they are experiencing unlimited happiness. And there are so many Lakshmis also. Lakshmi, the goddess of wealth, having so much opulence. But still, what does Lakshmi Devi is doing in spiritual world? Either she is massaging the legs of the Supreme Lord. It describes she is massaging the legs between the feet and the knee, that region. She is massaging that region of the Supreme Lord. And she is singing the glories of the Supreme Lord. And also there is description, all these Lakshmi Devis, they take the brooms in their hand and they are brooming all these different places. Even though all these floors are made of the pearls and gems, there is no dirt, no dust anywhere, but still they are constantly sweeping, brooming to keep it very attractive, very beautiful for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. So no matter who it is in the spiritual world, be it Lakshmi Devi or all other residents of the spiritual world, they are all just engaging in pleasing the Supreme Lord. See, there are two categories of Siddhas in spiritual world. One is Nitya Siddha, another is Nitya Muktas. Nitya Siddhas are one who are always residing in the spiritual world. They never had any fall down. They are always in the spiritual world in the company of the Supreme Lord. And Nitya Muktas, Muktas are the ones who had a fall down, who had experienced the material world first, but then by engaging in the process of self-realization, engaging in the process of devotional service, they were able to liberate themselves and attain the spiritual world. So they become Muktas and they came back to spiritual world. They come in the category of Nitya Muktas. So Nitya Siddha, Nitya Muktas, they are always engaging in service of the Supreme Lord. And further, the description of Vaikuntha is described that Brahma got this darshan of the spiritual world. What is happening in that spiritual world? The darsha tatra akhila sattvatam pati Shriyapati, Yagyapati, Jagatpati, Sunanda Nanda Pravala, Arhana Adhibihi, Savapashidagrahe, Parisevitam Vibhum. So finally, Brahma, within the spiritual world, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He had the darshan of the Supreme Lord. And who is that Supreme Lord? Satvatampati. He is the master of the entire devotee community. He is the lord of all the devotees. Shriyapati, he is the lord of the goddess of fortune. Yajyapati, He is the Lord of all the sacrifices. Jagatpati, He is the Lord of all the universes. So finally, he had the darshan of the Supreme Lord, who is accompanied by all his various associates. Sunanda Nanda Prabala Arha Adhibi. So few names are mentioned here, who are the eternal associates of the Supreme Lord. And he is being served by all these associates. So whenever there is a description of the Supreme Lord, who is always surrounded by his associates. So in this world, when we see any significant personality, right, if you talk about a king is accompanied by his ministers, his servants, maidservants, his advisors. If we talk about the prime minister or president of a country, wherever he goes, he is accompanied by his associates. So the Supreme Lord, in his eternal abode, he is always surrounded by his eternal associates who are always serving him. And what is the Supreme Lord doing? The Lord, Brahma saw the vision of the Lord. He is leaning towards his devotees, his associates. His very sight, the appearance of the Lord, just looking at the face of the Lord, it's very attractive. It's intoxicating. That is the beauty of the Supreme Lord. Once somebody see at the Supreme Lord, he's not able to take his eyes away. He is so much attractive, intoxicating, and which appear to be very much satisfying to Brahma. That, oh, he looks like to be the Supreme Lord, who is the master of everybody. He had a very smiling face, decorated with a reddish hue. He was dressed in yellow garments. He was wearing beautiful earrings, and he was wearing a crown, helmet on his head. So this description specifically is of Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha. It's not the description of Krishna, who is carrying a flute with two hands and he is wearing some kind of a turban on his head. Here the description is wearing a crown on his head with earrings and four arms. And his chest has the line of the goddess of fortune, the Srivatsa line. So Brahma had the vision of Lord Vishnu in the spiritual world. And all these associates as described. In Padma Purana, actually there is a description of the Vaikuntha Loka also, that to reach the inner chambers of the Supreme Lord, one has to cross the seven gates. And who are the gatekeepers on those seven gates? On the first gate, there is a Chanda and Kumuda. These are the two doorkeepers on the first gate. And on the middle gate, there is a Bhadra and Subhadra, two doorkeepers. And at the last gate, there is Jai and Vijay. So like that, there are different gates, and the description of the various gatekeepers is also given. So that is the full description of the Yoga Pitha, the eternal abode of the Supreme Lord. And he is being served by various energies. All the personifications, even the personification of dharma, personification of renunciation, personification of knowledge, personification of vairagya, they are all present there serving the Supreme Lord. So the description of the Supreme Lord, just having the darshan of the Lord, is very pleasing, satisfying to the heart. It's very intoxicating. And Brahma is feeling that pleasure in his heart. So Lord is seated on his throne, surrounded by his various energies. And he is surrounded by all the inferior energies also, the insignificant energies. And what are these insignificant energies mentioned here? The personification of the Ashta Siddhis. These Ashta Siddhis are treated as insignificant energies of the Lord. We know in this material world, somebody performs this process of Ashtanga Yoga to be able to acquire some mystic power. This all Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. So engaging in this process of Ashtanga Yoga, one is able to get Ashta Siddhis. But for the Supreme Lord, these Ashta Siddhis are just like His servant. They are very insignificant. Lord does not have to perform any mystic yoga to be able to acquire these Ashta Siddhis. He is the master of these Ashta Siddhis. And if somebody performs some austerity, if the Lord becomes pleased, He may give that Siddhi in charity to that person. That, okay, you want to acquire this mystic power, I grant this mystic power to you as a gift. That is the magnanimity of the Lord. So Lord does not have to perform any mystic yoga to acquire these Siddhis. Even if He is a small child, when He appears in this material world, as a small child also He has all these Siddhis. So when Lord came personally in the form of Lord Krishna, as a small baby, He was attacked by many different demons. So one demon, Tarnavrata. So He is a demon, but He was able to change Himself in a whirlwind, in the form of a whirlwind. And He lifted Krishna and took Krishna high in the sky, 800,000 miles above the earth level. So Krishna, He became lighter than the lightest. That is one of the Siddhi, to become so light. So Krishna became so light that Tarnavrata took Him so high in the sky. But as He took Him in the sky, Krishna became so heavy. He became heavier than the heaviest. And at that time, Tarnavrata wanted to drop Krishna, but He could not drop. See, generally with us, what happens? If you are carrying something and that object seems to be little heavier, then you just want to put it down. You want to throw it. But in case of Tarnavrata, even though Krishna became so heavy, He wanted to drop Krishna from that height. He could not let go of Krishna. Krishna hold on very lightly to on His neck. He grabbed His neck and Tarnavrata could not let go. So that was the mystic power of Krishna. He is under the, He always possessing all these Ashta Siddhis. He doesn't have to perform any mystic yoga to acquire these. And in spiritual world, He is served by all His energies, all the various energies, be it the five material elements or all these 25 elements or this jnana, vairagya, opulence, knowledge. He is being served by all of these energies in the spiritual world. And having that darshan of the Supreme Lord, Brahma was filled with joy in his heart. Tad darshanad ahalad pariplyutantaro harashayah tanu prema bharaha ashrulochanah nanam padabhunjamasya vishvasargah yat parmahansena pathadigamaye. Tad darshana ahalad. Having taken the darshan of the Supreme Lord, there was ahalad, joy in the heart of Brahma. So a great devotee of the Lord, who is very favorable towards the Lord, he feels very satisfying, pleasing, having taken darshan of the Lord, like Prahlad Maharaj. When Prahlad Maharaj had the darshan of Narsingh Dev, Prahlad Maharaj was very happy. He was not feeling scared. Even though Narsingh Dev killed his father Hiranyakashipu, but Prahlad Maharaj is feeling joy in his heart. And we sing this Narasimha prayer. We sing Prahlad Alad Daine. The Lord who is giving pleasure to His devotee Prahlad. The same way Brahma, having taken darshan of the Lord, is feeling joy in his heart. And he is filled with transcendental love and ecstasy. There is tears flowing from his eyes. Harshaya Tanu. All his body is filled with ecstasy. The hair is on the standing on ends with ecstasy. Prema Bhara Ashru Lochana. Because of the love, there are tears in his eyes. And he is offering his obeisances to the Supreme Lord. And that is the indication of the Paramahansas, the living entities who have attained the highest perfection of life. Then when we hear all these descriptions in Bhagavatam, that is the ultimate goal of hearing Bhagavatam, reading Bhagavatam, to develop love for the Supreme Lord. And that is the purpose of Bhagavatam. Ultimately, towards the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam is described as Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnava Nam Priyam Yasmin Paramahansyanam Ekam Amalam Jnanam Param Dhigiyate Tatra Jnana Vairagya Bhakti Sahitam Nashkramanayam Avishkram Tat Shrunu Supathan Vicharan Paro Bhaktiha Vimuchena Narah. So Srimad Bhagavatam is a spotless Purana. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnava Nam Priyam. It is the scripture which is very dear to the devotees, because it describes the devotional service towards the Supreme Lord, which is also provides, along with this devotional service, it provides the jnana vairagya. It brings in the knowledge and renunciation in the heart. It describes the glories of the Paramahansas, the self-realized personalities. And hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, what is the purpose of this description? Tat Shrunu. So one should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Tat Supathan. One should study the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vicharan Paro. And one should think about it. One should try to realize this. Whatever we hear, whatever we read, ultimately we try to internalize. Vicharan Paro. Bhakteha Vimuchyed Naraha. And in that way, one may become eligible to attain liberation. One may become completely, perfectly liberated. So hearing the description of the Supreme Lord, seeing the darshan of the Supreme Lord, Brahma is feeling ecstasy. And finally, seeing Brahma in front of him, Lord smiled at Brahma. He accepted him as worthy to create the living beings. He accepted him for the purpose of creation. So he wanted to fulfill the desire of Brahma, as Brahma had the desire to engage in this process of creation. So Lord thought, yes, he is an eligible candidate. He is an eligible person to engage in this process. And being very much satisfied with him, Lord shook hand with Brahma. It's not like a Western style of shaking hands. The word uses karasparshanam. So Lord touched Brahma with his hand. It's like taking the hand of Brahma with both his hands. It's like a giving of assurance that, okay, I am very pleased with you and I provide you all the intelligence, all the knowledge required to engage in fulfilling your desire for creation. So first of all, Lord Brahma's desire was not mundane. It was inspired by Lord himself to engage in this process of creation. Lord, sitting in his heart as Paramatma, gave that inspiration. And Lord want to create. What is the purpose behind this creation? Because Lord want to provide the facility for the living entities to fulfill their desires for enjoyment. But at the same time, Lord wants to give them facility to realize their eternal position and come back to him. So even though the purpose of this material world is to give the facility for the living entity to enjoy, so he provides for all those enjoyment, but at the same time, Lord gives the facility for frustration also. He makes sure the living entity ultimately becomes frustrated in all his endeavor of enjoyment. And the Lord provides the scripture, Lord provides the devotees to give them guidance, to bring them towards himself. So Lord sends the scripture, Lord sends the devotee, Lord sends the spiritual master, and he himself also comes in his various incarnations by performing various leela. He wants to attract the heart of the living entity. So All these arrangements are ultimately to reclaim the living entities, to bring them back to the spiritual world. And whoever helps the Supreme Lord in reclaiming all these living entities, that person also becomes very dear to the Lord. So Brahma had the desire to engage in this process of creation. Ultimately, that is the task of the Supreme Lord. So Lord becomes very pleased with him. And same way, Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, nobody is more dear to me than that person who speak this knowledge to others, who spread this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, of Bhagavatam, of these scriptures to others, who preach them to others. So Lord shaking hands with Brahma is like giving him an assurance. I accept you in my service and I provide you all the intelligence. So after giving that assurance, Lord tells Brahma that this austerity, whatever you have performed, was also based on my desire, because the austerities are very dear to me. So in this world, there are two types of austerities. One is austerity for sense gratification, and there is another type of austerity which is for the purpose of self-realization. In this material world, people perform austerity. Getting up early in the morning, going to work, working so hard all day, and sometimes even they don't have time to eat. That is also a lot of austerity. People want to visit many places, traveling for all that so long distances. That is a big austerity. So people perform austerity for the purpose of sense gratification. But the austerity which is performed for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, without considering one's own comfort, that is more pleasing to the Lord. When somebody doesn't consider his own comfort, his own enjoyment, but want to serve the Supreme Lord. Like so many devotees, they engage in so many devotional activities. Somebody is cooking for the Supreme Lord, and in that whole process, one has to observe so many process of cleanliness, so many rules and regulations, cooking for so many hours without drinking or without eating. It's a big austerity, but that is for the purpose of pleasing the Supreme Lord, serving him. Same way, there are devotees who are making garlands for the Supreme Lord. It takes hours and hours to make so beautiful, nice garlands, and they are sacrificing their personal enjoyment, their personal time, their personal comfort, for the purpose of pleasing the Supreme Lord. And the austerities which are performed in that way, that is the most pleasing to the Lord. So the Lord is saying that I am very pleased with your long accumulated penances, with this desire of creation. Hardly I am pleased with the austerities by these pseudo-mystics. All these people who may be performing austerities to gain some personal benefit, I am not pleased with them, but I am pleased with your austerities, because that is for my satisfaction. And I wish you all good luck, O Brahma. You may ask me whatever desire you have, whatever boon you want to ask me. I will fulfill all your desires. But understand that the result of all the penances, ultimately, the ultimate benediction is to be able to see my personal abode. Ultimately, to be able to take my personal darshan. That is the ultimate benediction of performing that austerity. And I have already manifested my personal form, the vision of my spiritual world in front of you. So I have already given you the ultimate benediction. But apart from that, whatever you desire, you may ask from me. See, Lord fulfills all the desire of the living entity. And the way he fulfills the desire is so that the person does not keep desiring that same thing again. That is how Lord works. For Dhruva Maharaj, even though Dhruva Maharaj had a desire, I want to acquire a place which nobody else has acquired. Even my great-grandfather Brahma has not acquired that position. I want a kingdom bigger than my father, bigger than my father's father, bigger than my father's father's father. And that is Brahma. So he wanted that sort of position. And when Lord appeared in front of him, being pleased by his austerities, Dhruva was thinking, what was I desiring? Why did I desire such things? I was looking for the shattered pieces of glasses, but I have got the real diamond. I have seen the personal form of the Lord, took his personal darshan. That is the ultimate benediction. So Lord fulfills the desire. He gave him a place which was higher than Brahma, the Dhruva Loka. But he cleansed all such desires for future. So Lord fulfill all the desires. So that's why we say, akama sarva kamova, moksha kama udaradi. Even if somebody is filled with all sort of desire, or if somebody is free from desire, or if somebody is desirous of getting liberation, no matter what kind of desire one has, one should approach the Supreme Lord, which will cleanse his heart and bring him closer to his lotus feet. So Lord granted all the desires of Brahma, and he asked him that you may ask me whatever you want. I am the one who ordered you to undergo this austerity. Even though you were not able to see me, but you followed my instruction. You engaged in this austerity. And that is, austerity is very pleasing to me. That is like the internal potency of the Lord. By voluntarily submitting somebody, or if somebody submits by force, in any way, we need to engage in this process of austerity. In the beginning, we may not be engaging voluntarily. Right? We are engaging in some hard task because somebody has instructed us to do. And we may feel obligation, we may feel forced. Eventually, even if we engage by force, by obligation, slowly, slowly the purification of heart happens. We may get the desire to please the Lord eventually. But the performance of austerity is the heart and soul of the Supreme Lord. So having heard from Lord, Brahma finally asked some question. Please, I want to know about your various forms. What is your transcendental form and what is your material form? Material form in the sense, the so-called material form of the Lord, when Lord appears within the material world in his various avatars. So what is your transcendental form and how you acquire the various forms? Please tell me your internal energy and external energy. What kind of energies you acquire or you assume for the purpose of creation, maintenance and annihilation? Just like a spider engages in the purpose of creating a spider web. So how you utilize various energies for all these various purposes? Please tell me all your activities in various forms. And as you know, I was having the desire of engaging in this process of creation. Please bestow your benediction on me, your blessings on me, that I am not influenced by your external energy. I may not get pride in my heart. So Brahma is very cautious. He is fearful of fall down. He is thinking of, after engaging in this process of creation, I should not start thinking myself, I am so great. I did such a wonderful task. So he has that, he is cautious about that. He has a fear of fall down and he is praying for protection. FFPP, fear of fall down, praying for protection. And it's a healthy fear. So generally we say one should not be fearful. One should take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. And having taken shelter of the feet of the Lord, one becomes fearless. And that's what Brahma want to do. He want to become fearless. He want to give up this fear of fall down, come under the influence of material energy. So Brahma also is asking further questions that I want to understand all these things. And this is how Shukdev Goswami, by quoting the discussion between Lord Brahma and Lord Vishnu, He is answering the questions of Parikshit Maharaj. So hearing all these descriptions, they bring so much of purification in the heart. They make us desiring more and more to engage in the service of the Lord. Because when we see all these great personalities who are engaging in the service of the Lord, we also get that desire that I should give up my personal agenda, I should give up my personal motives of self-enjoyment, rather I should engage in the service of the Supreme Lord. Even chanting of the holy name, hearing Harikatha, that is also a service. Because that is also an austerity. We are cutting down of our personal enjoyment and engaging in hearing about Krishna, chanting His name, and then rendering some practical service to the Supreme Lord. And that is the ultimate perfection of this human form of life. As I quoted that example earlier, after getting this human form of life, if we misutilize it as a phone which is put under the leg of the table to make it balanced, that is a misuse of the phone, the features, the functions of the phone. So same way, utilizing this human form of life for our own selfish agendas, aham and mama, that mentality, that will cause further fall down. We should utilize this human form for the ultimate purpose, self-realization. And that self-realization comes ultimately when we take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Like Parikshit Maharaj has taken shelter of Shukdev Goswami. So every description has so many wonderful messages, so many wonderful instructions to learn. So we'll stop here and we'll continue how Shukdev Goswami continues to describe further the discussion of Brahma and Lord Vishnu. So Granthraj Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. So thank you very much. If anybody has any questions or comments, any questions, comments, any questions on live Facebook Live?
No question on Facebook Live, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Danda Pranam. This is Suran Haridas. I got a question, Prabhu. I got two questions. One is keep hearing about the Shuji and Prachetas. I just quickly, briefly wanted to know a couple of lines, like who is Prachetas and what is the relation of Prachetas to Shuji, how that came out.
Okay, so Prachetas, they are the sons of King Prachinabhari. King Prachinabhari, he had sent his sons to perform austerities before they engaged in the Grihastha Ashram for their executing regular duties in the kingdom. So Prachetas sent them to perform some austerities, and as they were performing the austerities, they were met by Lord Shiva, who gave them the ultimate knowledge, the message of devotional service, to engage them in devotional service. So King Prachinabhari, even though he had sent them for some austerities, performing the austerities for the purpose of as a karma kanda, ritualistic activities, to gain some material benefit, but Lord Shiva appeared there and he gave them the ultimate knowledge, the knowledge of the devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So that is the context here, the description of Lord Shiva and Prachetas, the song sung by Lord Shiva. That comes in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam. And after that we hear the description of King Prachinabhari. When Narad Muni comes to King Prachinabhari, that he is engaged in all these karmakandi ritualistic activities for sense enjoyment, and he indirectly brings him to the right understanding by giving him the story of Puranjan, telling him the story, indirect story of Puranjan.
Okay, okay. Now I got the connection, Prabhu. Thank you very much. So I had another question that in the spiritual world, if I understand correct everything, whatever we see in the material world is there in the spiritual world.
Whatever we
Isn't
see
it?
in the world is there.
I mean, they are living entities, including trees, birds, animals, women, reptiles.
Yes, all the variety is there in spiritual world also. And we say material world is the reflection of spiritual world, right? But now, is each and everything exists in spiritual world? That is, we don't want to do any speculation of that. This is based on whatever is described in Srimad Bhagavatam or any other Vedic literature. Based on that, we can make our mind. Because is everything existing in spiritual world? Maybe not. Maybe not in the same form. It's maybe in a little different variety. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita also, my spiritual abode is not illuminated by the sun or the moon or the fire. Na bhashyato surya na shashanko na pavakaha. Right? So it is self-illuminated. There is no sun or the moon or fire. It doesn't say there is no sun or moon or fire. It particularly say that my spiritual world is not illuminated by the sun or the moon or the fire. There is no need of light from sun or the moon or fire. It is self-illuminated. But now if the sun or the moon or all these things exist in spiritual world, maybe, maybe not. This is not clearly specified. Right? But all these things may be very well there in spiritual world. But the ultimate point to understand is all this variety exists. Even the male and female form also exists in spiritual world. But people are not aware of their differences in gender, as I was saying earlier. It's not that somebody is thinking, I am the male or she is the female, I am the husband or she is the wife. There is no such designation there.
So anyone want to desire to have any form, they can have it. Like if one want to become peacock, if one want to become a
originally
of the
somebody has a particular form in spiritual world. That is what is called our original Savarupa. Everybody has a particular form and they just serve Krishna in that form. It's not that they keep desiring, now I want to change from peacock to a parrot or to a bee or to a living and as a human being, four-handed form. It's not that they continuously keep desiring to change their form. They have their particular service in that particular form, even as a flower or a leaf or a cuckoo bird or a peacock. And they're happy in that service because the experience of time is not there. Time is as if still in spiritual world, right? So nobody is aging. Everybody is as youthful, just like a teenager.
So,
within the spiritual world.
Actually, I asked this question before also. Yeah, I did ask this question before also, but I'm a little confused because now in the material world, we are having the bodies and the positions or this place, everything with respect to our karma.
Yes.
Now, in the spiritual world, some has a spiritual living in it, like a human being, some is a bird, some is a tree, some is a leaf, flower. But what makes them to have those different kind of bodies there?
That is from the time immemorial. Nobody can trace, as Prabhupada writes in the purpose, nobody can trace down at what point of time that spiritual world existed or it came into existence. Everybody is existing eternally there and in one particular form. Krishna has created all this variety. So everybody has been given one particular Savrupa in the spiritual world in the beginning when Krishna made all this variety. And everybody is happily serving Krishna in that form. So in the first time everybody got that form as per how Krishna created them. But in the material world there is influence of karma. Based on our desire to enjoy in a particular way, based on our karma, actions of karma, one keeps getting different forms of life. To exhaust that karma, and again, we become as a human to build up that karma.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you. I think I'm very close to understand this. Thank you, Prabhu. Very nice class, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? No comments from Facebook.
Okay, so we'll stop here then. Grantras Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.
Jai.